This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, before a live audience courtesy of RSM US, a special edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour, live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage, here's WBBM's Chris Kreidel and Cisco Cotto.
It is great to have you with us for this special Friday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I am Cisco Cotto.
You are.
I am. That's what I've been told.
I'm Chris Kreidel. Welcome to our program. It's 76 degrees right now at O'Hare, 70 at the lakefront, and we're being warned about excessive heat in effect for Cook County from tomorrow morning through Monday evening.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update on a down day on Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, we are deep in the red. The Dow down 207 points, falling to 24,964. NASDAQ down 18, S&P lower by 9. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index sliding 0.25%. Once again, the biggest market mover comes from Washington. Today, it's not a rate hike by the Fed that's raising concerns among investors, but some specifics on the tariffs the U.S. is imposing on Chinese products. More than 1,000 items exported from China will face a 25% fee. President Trump says he's looking at an additional $100 billion worth of tariffs next. The concern, how will China respond? The country has said it will impose equally severe tariffs on American exports to Asia. And we're seeing some headlines now. Apple says it has just signed a multi-year content partnership with Oprah Winfrey. The announcement says, quote, together, Winfrey and Apple will create original programs that embrace her incomparable ability to connect with audiences around the world. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we are in the studio with our financial editor, Len Walter. We're going to talk to him about some of these things that are moving the markets today, including the president slapping tariffs on Chinese goods. And former campaign boss Paul Manafort is sentenced to jail.
A local meal delivery service is expanding. That's Entrepreneur Friday. Also, we'll get some dining tips that were recommended for several years by the late Anthony Bourdain. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Before a live audience, courtesy of RSM US, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Financial editor Len Walter is joining us with his technical analysis of the economy and the financial markets. Is today just a bump, Len?
It very well could be, but I think that there's a tremendous sign here that the market is really going to risk off at this point. We're seeing everybody become a little bit more defensive. As you know, Chris, I've expected this for quite some time. I do think, however, that this is probably going to be a little bit of a blip, and the market will probably try to recover from it. Whether or not it can is another story. But right now, by the looks of my technical work at least, I do think that the market is tremendously overbought at this time and is ready not just for corrections, but probably a little bit more than that. 10%? Sure. 20, 25, yeah, could be that very, very easily.
And it looks as if Ben Bernanke and Alan Greenspan agree with you. Bernanke said that the economy could be like Wile E. Coyote and go off the cliff. And Alan Greenspan said he thinks the economy is already slowing.
Well, you know, you have to look at Newton's law, too. Every action has an opposite and similar reaction at this point. And the markets are no different, and I think the pendulum probably will swing. You can point to quite a bit with regard to the risk-off that we've seen here today. You can point to a number of events to underpin the argument. The VIX over at the Chicago Board Options Exchange, the volatility index in the market, bottomed in January. Gold hit $1,353, the high in January as well. The 10-year note, which we've been tracking, which is about 2.90%, hit 3% here not that long ago. But it did peak, and it peaked at 3.11%. So we're seeing a lot here that's going on to indicate that maybe We're at the top of things. West Texas Intermediate crude is another thing I like to watch. It had a high of about 72.24 a barrel about a month ago. And the CRB index, which tracks the commodities too, peaked in May. So there's a lot, I think, that we can look at, not just the noise and the news that we're reporting hour by hour on WBBM, but there's more underneath the scene that I think really needs to be looked at closely.
Len, talk about the challenge for investors as there's tariff talk seemingly every day. They're trying to figure out where to put their money, yet they don't know, is this bluster? Is it going to happen? It just seems like tough season for investors.
Well, it's going to be for some time, Cisco, I think. And really what they have to do is not be fully invested in this market. They have to be very, very risk adverse at this point. And I do think if they're fully invested, it wouldn't hurt to take some money off the table at this point. And a lot of people ask me, well, what do I do with it? Where do I go, into the bond market or what? And my answer is always the same. It doesn't hurt to sit with cash for a little while. And when the market goes down, to buy things a little bit cheaper. And I think that's a point to be well taken by folks.
Yeah, you know the mindset of the investors, though. When they have that cash sitting there and there's a good day on the markets, they're thinking, I could have done something with it on that day.
Well, you know, you have to look at trends. And I watch a number of things in the marketplace. And Chris knows I watch Bollinger Bands. A friend of mine invented that, John Bollinger, who's in California right now. And we watch also the MACD, which is moving averages and trend lines, and you always go with the trend. The trend is your friend. It's difficult, I tell people, to buy stocks on a fundamental basis. Now, this goes against what a lot of people know, but I like the technicals because if you see a stock moving up or down and there's volume behind it, get on it. And sometimes you can get a very, very good fundamental story on a stock, invest in it, and the money is going to be dead. It just won't move. So I think it's technical analysis that you might want to take a look at. And there's a lot of good books on the subject out there.
We're going to continue to be looking at trade and the markets and the overall economy here on the Noon Business Hour.
Before a live audience, courtesy of RSMUS, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
In this segment, we're focusing on the volatile trade situation, the markets, and the economy. WBBM financial editor Len Walters returning with us. We're also joined by Michael Palumbo, manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund, author of the book Calculated Risk, based here in Chicago. Mike, glad to have you with us. I'll throw the same question to you that I threw to Len, and that is, with tariff talk every day, on, off, allies, folks that we're frustrated with, what is an investor to do?
Well, good afternoon, Chris and Cisco and Len. It's great to be here. I think that this definitely puts some volatility in the marketplace, but let's just take a step back and look at the fact that this could be political posturing. It's just the beginning of what could be a drawn-out battle between China and the United States, but I do believe that this step by Trump really is just a first step in a long, ongoing negotiation process.
And so if you are that person who's thinking about where to put your money, is it back to similar to what Len said? It's ultimately, like we say all the time on this show, it's about the fundamentals.
You know, I was talking with Len, and I agree almost entirely with what he says. I'm not so sure cash is a big investment here, but I do think that that's definitely safe. I've always advocated a portfolio that's balanced. And so, yeah, in the big run-ups, you are kind of like, wow, I missed this run. But you know what? In times like this where it's a little bit unsettled, I think having some money in bonds, having some money in alternative investments, and then in some cash, as Len has said, is very important. So just stay that way, and that way you don't get killed in these type of markets.
And we haven't seen any capitulation yet at this point, even though the markets appear to be grossly overpriced, as you and I have discussed. We're not seeing a lot of people finally throwing in the towel. And you're not going to see that until Joe Sixpack goes out and starts buying stock, thinking that there's no end to this market, and that's when it's going to come down probably.
Right, and I don't think we've seen that, as you said. And that's why, even though on a fundamental basis, this market to me is a bit overvalued, and as you said, Len, that we've both agree in that. But it's not to the point in my mind that it's a massive sale. I don't expect a sell-off to be big, but it certainly can come. And I think that this market today kind of shows what could happen. And then in the future, just stay diversified, and then you're protected a little bit from something like this.
How do you calculate your risk?
Yeah, well, that's a great question.
When your wife yells at you.
Yeah, that's for sure. Chris, that's a great question. Calculating the risk, really, that's why I say remain diversified, so you don't have to calculate the risk as far as you don't have to guess when to get in and out of the market. If you just remain with a strategy that's solid and diversified, you don't have to worry about timing these things, because history's proved that they've called 20 of the last 12 recessions. So in other words, it's so hard to tell when those things are going to happen that it's best to just stay diversified, and that way you don't have to worry about something like that.
Another thing, I think, to answer that question, it depends where you are with regard to age. The demographics have a tremendous amount to play with it. If you're a younger person and you're just starting your career, sure, you can be a little bit more risk-averse risk-oriented and get in and spend more time with it. If you're my age and you need money in order to live, you're going to have to scale back quite a bit and hope for the very best. But we're starting to see interest rates climb a little bit. The Federal Reserve Open Market Committee this week kicked up those Fed funds rates a little bit, and we had an interest rate boost of about a quarter percentage point. But this is still not helping people that are on fixed income. You know, they have just been really damaged by what's been going on. And now we're hearing talk also of the possibility of a couple of funds running out of money, Social Security and Medicare, and that is very, very worrisome. I'm very, very concerned also about the heavy debt, not only in the United States, trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. Here in Illinois, we're bankrupt for the most part. Junk bond status, and what does that mean? It's going to cost more just to support and pay for the interest that we have. We're finding in municipalities, we haven't really seen a lot here yet, but a lot of municipalities are not going to be able to pay their debt, and what's going to happen there? There's a lot going on under the surface that could really impact these markets. So be very, very careful, no matter what your age. And as Mike indicated, just try to be as diverse as you possibly can.
Lots more still to come on today's Noon Business Hour, including more analysis of the stock markets and advice on what you should do. We'll also get a check of the markets from Bloomberg next. Pretty much a down day all around on Wall Street. Let's get an update from Bloomberg, sponsored by LeapFrog Technology Group. Here's Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Cisco. The Dow tumbling 203 points, or 0.8%. NASDAQ down 17. S&P lower by 9. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is sliding 0.2%. For a check of the grains markets, we turn to Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets have recovered from early sharp losses on President Trump's announcement on tariffs on Chinese products. These tariffs are to take effect July 6th, but there is talk that China and U.S. negotiators will get together before this takes effect. Short covering is a main feature ahead of the weekend, with corn futures up 1 to 2, beans down 9 to 10, and the wheat market down 1 to 2 cents. This is Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities in Normal.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage before a live audience, courtesy of RSM US, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are losing ground today. We'll see what's moving the markets.
A Chicago meal delivery company that is hungry to expand.
The late celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain has left behind a legacy that includes his principles for dining out.
Chicago police look for suspects in a shooting that has left a 12-year-old girl dead.
President Trump blames Democrats for a policy that separates adults and children at the border with Mexico.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 211 points, the NASDAQ off 18, S&P 500 down by 10.
Sunshine slowly moving into Chicagoland as the clouds head out. It'll be really wonderful this afternoon, but warm, heading to a high of 88 degrees for your weekend, both Saturday and Sunday. Sunshine, hot, humid, high right about 95. Right now, 76 at O'Hare, 70 along Chicago's lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, the markets are down on this final day of the trading week. We're joined by Michael Palumbo. We've asked him to stay on so we can continue to talk with him. Manager of TMT Perseverance Fund. Perseverance, we all need that. Author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Today's markets.
Well, good afternoon, Chris and Cisco. You know, we're down small. There's obviously news in the marketplace that Trump is threatening tariffs on China. If this was a major trade war, the markets would not be down a half of 1%. It would be a significant move. So I look at this as the beginnings of a negotiation, and in any negotiation, you want to come out with a strong hand. I think that's what President Trump is doing, and that subsequent meetings between China and the United States will probably be very productive, and that at the end of the day, I don't think either side wants a major trade war. No one benefits from that. I think the market sees that. I just think this small down move is a little bit of nervousness right now.
When was the last time we experienced this with a president making warnings like this?
Well, I'm not a historian as far as when it exactly has happened, but there's been trade negotiations in every presidency, and President Trump got elected. We have to remember he got elected by promising that he was going to make trade fairer. So if this is his attempt on doing that, then all he's doing is really just doing what he said he was going to do. And so there, you know, the millions of people that voted for him, he's basically just sticking with his promise. Like I said, though, I think the end of the day, we're going to have the countries getting along because they need each other. China and the United States need each other. And no one wins a trade war. So in the long run, I expect this to be more bluster than anything else.
Let's talk about the dynamic of what's going on in the market, in that there was a time not that long ago where a downward movement of 216 points on the Dow would be a huge deal. But because of the run-up and how things have been going, people, they don't even pay attention to 200 points anymore.
Well, it sounds big, like you said, Cisco, but it's less than 1%. This is a minor move. Could it be caused by the trade tensions? Yes, but like I said, if there was real threat of a major trade war between China and the United States, we'd be down 10%. So this is just, I think the market was looking for a reason to sell off a little bit. We are near highs for the year. We're up 5% for the year. Stocks have done fantastically well, both in the Obama and Trump presidency. And even though I do think, as Len has said as well, that prices are a bit on the high side, there's no sign of a recession, and I think things are looking pretty good. All the macro numbers are fine.
The Nasdaq has been doing a very good performance. What does that say to us?
Well, it says technology is the place to be, and it's been the place to be for years now. And when you look at a market that's up 4 or 5%. But tech is up 10%+. It's definitely been leading the market. You got stocks like Facebook and Amazon and Google. These are companies, and Apple. These are companies that have monopolies in their industries. When you have a monopoly like they do, first of all, it's unhealthy for the consumer, but it's very healthy for the stock. And so these companies have outperformed, and they've outperformed for many years, and they could continue to do so. Technology certainly is leading the way.
When you and Len both talked about there are at least some stocks that are pretty expensive, does making a decision on whether or not to pull money out of the market depend on your time horizon? If you're 20 or 30 years still left in your investment horizon, is that different than someone who's maybe 5 years?
Len touched on this. There's no doubt that a portfolio should be geared towards what your time frame is. So if you're a millennial, you should be taking a lot of risk right now. You have 50 years of investing in front of you. But if you're a baby boomer and looking at retirement, then you gear towards more fixed income. That makes your risk portfolio a little bit lower. You can't afford to be buying all tech stocks in that environment. So it certainly depends on your age.
We talked about earlier about maybe pulling money out and putting it in cash. Are dividend stocks another option too? Maybe not the growth potential, but you're at least going to be making a little money.
Well, dividend stocks tend to be less risky, so I would definitely look at that as being more towards people with shorter time horizons. So again, it's all a matter of the spectrum. So you have everything from high risk technology stocks that are growing fast, and those would be on the high end, and then all the way on the other end would be government bonds. And in the middle somewhere are dividend paying stocks. So you want to have a good variety so that, as I had said earlier, that when there are tough times, you're prepared for them.
Michael, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Michael Palumbo, manager of TMT Perseverance Fund, author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Up next in Entrepreneur Friday, a Chicago meal delivery company works toward producing 10,000 meals a day.
You can watch this edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour on Facebook Live, courtesy of RSMUS. It's on the WBBM News Radio Facebook page live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage.
It's Entrepreneur Friday here on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by RSMUS. Eat Purely, a meal delivery app serving the Chicago area, has moved to a much larger location in the West Loop, certainly expanding. Let's learn about the company from Jeremiah Green, co-founder of Eat Purely, of course, based here in Chicago. Jeremiah, glad you could be with us today. For people who are just hearing about Eat Purely, give us kind of a thumbnail sketch of what you do.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. What we do is we make healthy, delicious, chef-made meals delivered in 20 minutes or less from our mobile app.
Now, from a business aspect, so you are making these meals. We're looking at some of them. And frankly, I don't know how I'm going to get through the rest of the show without eating one of these because they look really delicious. From a business standpoint, what is the hole in the market that you and your team have seen that made you decide not only to get into this, but that there's an opportunity for expansion?
Sure. The thing is that most folks think that they have a real choice when they eat, and they really don't. You either go to a restaurant or you go to a grocery store, and that's our food supply chain. We wanted to be that third option. And so what we do is we make it super convenient to eat really well. We don't cook with any preservatives, no artificial anything, non-GMOs. A lot of our meals, you can look at the instructions in the app and see whether or not they're gluten-free, nut-free, all these good things. You see all the ingredients, super transparent. And so the opportunity for us was to get people eating well, super conveniently, at the right price. And if we deliver on all those things, and the food's really delicious and tastes great, we got something. And so that's the hole that we're filling.
You do a delivery, which has become a very crowded space now. There's a lot of companies that deliver your food. So how do you compete?
Yeah, so we compete on the food, and we compete on the speed. So it takes, let's say, a meal delivery service like Grubhub an hour minimum on average to get you the food. Our average delivery time is 22 minutes. So that's the first differentiation. The second one is you cannot get this type of food anywhere else. It's very healthy. It's very right-sized. It's not necessarily dietetic, but it's right in the middle of exactly the way you should be eating on a daily basis. And it'll make you feel great.
What about the cost basis? The competition with the other.
Oh yeah, well that's even better for us. When you go on, let's say Uber Eats or some of these other point-to-point delivery systems, the minimum that you're paying is $5 on a delivery charge. Our delivery fee is $1.99 and an optional tip. And so we are trying really hard to keep those excessive costs down so that we can buy better food, have better quality product, and again, if you think about it, we also compete with restaurants. And if the food is better than your next door restaurant and the quality of it is better than that, and you guys can see it right here, then we have a really good shot of making a go. And remember, our menus change every day so that we have a huge variety. It's very easy to eat every day. You can order a week ahead of time. It's very flexible. So the difference in flexibility, the difference in you can schedule your order. If you know you're not going to be home till 7 o'clock, you can get it scheduled by 7 o'clock today, tomorrow, any day. And so all those little nuances give us those competitive advantages to compete with you know, the likes of Grubhub.
So that 20 or so minute delivery time, is that one of the things you're really pushing and working on and trying to maintain? Because I'm thinking often when people think meal delivery, they think of those services that it's you get all your meals for the week and you fill up the refrigerator and, yeah. and you do that as opposed to, hey, I'm hungry now and I'd like some lunch.
Yeah, I mean, certain people who are very regimented but they're out of time like to do things like that. And we're the other option instead of ordering ahead. We're, you know, instantly get it really fast. You know, and most people are time starved these days, you know.
Good stuff.
We've enjoyed talking with you today. Best wishes. You started in 2015.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I would like to mention something really fast. We have a new corporate program going where we're employers can offer a subsidy for employee meals, and people are loving that. And because they can't get this quality of food, you know, that they can in the basement of these large buildings.
Our boss is in the back of the room. We'll be sure talk to him on the way out here. For sure.
I'm going to come find you.
He just ran out of the room.
Jeremiah Green, co-founder of Eat Purely here in Chicago. Thanks for joining us. Still to come, rules for dining out from a late chef, Anthony Bourdain.
You can watch this edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour on Facebook Live, courtesy of RSMUS. It's on the WBBM News Radio Facebook page live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage.
The late celebrity Anthony Bourdain has left behind some rules for dining out that will live on. We're going to be talking with Doug Roth, founder and president of PlayGroupHospitality.com in Glencoe, a restaurant man. And Doug, Bourdain has certainly given us something to think about the 12 things that you have to know when you're dining out.
Well, he was a fabulous inspiration, as we all know, and a great loss for us as a person. And I think what was really interesting, just as a side note, it's the kind of guy that you wanted to sit next to on an airplane. I mean, if you had an opportunity, he was the guy. I mean, that you felt that he was a man's man, and also in addition to that, he was a woman's man. And our thought was that he had it all. And it's extremely unfortunate. But he had so many great lines and so many great things that he was able to impart on us. And one of those things was always on Mondays, for instance, skip the fish special. And I always believed in that as well, is that you just don't want to order fish on Mondays. It came in on Friday, and most likely, especially when you see a mixed grill, then there were a lot of fish that came in on Friday, and you want to skip those, period.
It means it didn't sell, right?
It means that it's been sitting around for a while, Cisco, and it's not something that you necessarily want to have.
Yeah.
How about most meals include a full stick of butter? Who knew?
Well, they do, and he's right about that because he was classically trained, and butter means flavor. So no matter what you do and how you look at things and how you season, and we could have a discussion with your last guest about that as well, that really what gives us the pleasure in our food is the fat that comes from butter. And he was able to really understand how to mix flavors together and really get great flavor profiles.
Whenever I go out, I love the bread, and one of Bourdain's rules has totally ruined this for me. Apparently, we should avoid the bread at the restaurant. It's recycled bread.
Well, yes, I would say.
There's no way to nuance it.
Well, the fact is, and I can't say that that's by any means, especially if the Chicago Health Department is listening right now, by any means is bread necessarily going to be recycled by most restaurants. But some restaurants may have had some kids playing around in that bread and decided that they wanted to reserve it again. Not exactly the practice that I believe in, and I'm sure no one else that would admit that they do that, but yes, it does happen.
Oh, fun stuff. Thank you, Doug. Always appreciate you being on the show.
I always love it, too.
Really,
thanks.
That's great.
Doug Roth. Have a good weekend, everyone.
And no discount sushi, either.
No discount sushi.
No discount sushi.
That's
right, Chris.
Doug Roth, founder and president, PlayGroundHospitality.com, based in Glencoe. Appreciate the crowd from RSMUS here. How about a big hand? Thank you so much for being with us in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. We'll get an update on the markets from Bloomberg next.
WBBM News Time, 12:56. Let's take a look at the markets now with Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the Dow is lower by 220 points, or almost 1%. NASDAQ falling 25, and the S&P is done down by 12. The Bloomberg Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index lower by 0.25%. Stocks are in retreat now that Beijing has responded quickly to President Trump's tariff increase on Chinese goods. The Chinese Commerce Ministry says it will immediately impose penalties of equal strength on U.S. products. With business at 25 and 55. From the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Elisa Parenti on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.